be able to speak to you this morning and trust and pray that the Lord will bless our thoughts and give us the words and the ability to say the things on our heart, and that they'll be, first of all, praise to his name, and secondly, a blessing to all of us. I'd like to direct your attention this morning to the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 11, and verse 5. Solomon said, "As thou knowest not what is the way of the spirit, nor how the bones do grow in the womb of her that is with child, even so thou knowest not the works of God, who maketh all." During the recent times and events, the last year or so, we've heard a lot of good admonition in many ways, and messages preached by our brethren, turning us towards the fact that, and reminding us that our Lord's still in control. He's still in charge, and we certainly can't know the future. We can't see as our Lord does, and we are admonished, you know, to put our trust in the Lord, because he knoweth all things, and he understands all things. And most importantly, he is in control of all things. And this verse of this verse of scripture has come to my mind a number of times over the past year or so, and for reasons just recently stated, but of course also is one of the things that's always encouraging is in the midst of trials and tribulations, whether they're on the national level or trials in the church or in families and, of course, personal trials, it's always refreshing and a good exercise if we'll just stop and consider the workings of God. And you know, one of the things that the Lord kind of brings to my mind a lot of times when I'm beginning to feel a little blue and you know, having a pity party, is that he blesses me to look around, and seems like he always blesses something to happen. And you look around and say, you know, life goes on. Yeah. As tragic as any event is in our lives personally or in our family lives, etc., you know, life goes on. God's still in control. And, you know, as we've been blessed in Sister Lane and I and our family personally, and, of course, Brother Clayton and Sister Nancy and Brother Kenneth and Sister Sarah have been blessed to see a child born into this world. It's another testament to the fact that God's still in control. You know, life goes on. And that's God's promise. As difficult as things can become, you know, God has promised as long as this world stands that there'll be seasons, that there'll be all of those things that occur from day to day. In fact, that's a promise that he made over in the book of Genesis to Noah after the flood. I mean, consider the flood and God's judgment, of course, on that day was because of the wickedness of men. I'm sure that Noah and his family and all, they felt pretty much like we do about the situation in their day. And they probably said, you know, I don't see how it can get any worse than this. But of course, we know that God visited Noah and told him to build an ark for the saving of his house. Noah built that ark, and God blessed him, of course, to survive the flood and to be a part of a very unique part of the history of this world at that time. And so as we consider situations in life, we need to, of course, be reminded of that. So Solomon says here, to me, as I read this, this is one of those verses you have to preach upside down. Okay? Because the point is at the end of the verse. You know, even as, even so thou knowest not the works of God, which or who maketh all. But of course, it's Solomon's way of expressing this is he brings about, he gives us an example. A couple of examples. As thou knowest not what is the way of the Spirit. The Spirit, some do say that the Spirit here that's under consideration has to do with the wind. That may be true. And certainly that we could use that as an example. You know, Jesus Christ himself in teaching the new birth says that one of the aspects of the new birth is that it's like the wind. You know, you can't tell from whence it comes or whether it goes. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit of God. You know, that tells us the main lesson in that is that being born of the Spirit of God is God's work. And we can no more discern, the wind. We don't have the power over the wind in that way. To channel it, you know, if we could, you know, we'd try to keep these hurricanes from causing so much damage. And we'd try to stop tornadoes. We'd try to stop all of those destructive forces. But we can't do that. You know, we can't even always predict what they're going to do. We try, and I'm thankful that there are those that do try. But their predictions, the ones that will honestly give us their understanding from the right viewpoint, they'll give us a percentage. This 10% that it's going to do this or it's going to take that course. Because we know when it comes to the wind that as much by the time we think we've got it figured out what it's going to do, or by the time they think they've got a hurricane figured out where it's going to go, it changes its mind. It changes its course. And it happens all the time. And we know it happens all the time. But as the scriptures teach us, and as Solomon reminds us, you know, God knows the course. And whatever course it takes, God is in control. You know, there's nothing that escapes his power. There's nothing that escapes his ability to handle any situation that comes about or takes place. And of course, Jesus Christ showed us very well the control that God has over the weather. Some of my favorite parts of the story of the life of Jesus Christ, as recorded in the four Gospels, are the various times that Jesus Christ spoke to the wind, spoke to the storms. On one occasion, it's called the Euroclydon. Well, that's, as I understand it, that's equivalent to a hurricane. And he said, "Be still." You know, and guess what? It was still. Now, you know, that could have happened all kinds of ways. And sometimes I've seen storms just stop, just almost, you know, that quick. But that usually kind of, I think of it as a wave, you know, it just kind of just settles into position. But I believe with all my heart, and I believe the scriptures, one of the reasons I believe it is because of the way the scriptures describe what took place. When he said, "Be still," that stopped it. And if it's a storm that we think it would be equivalent to a hurricane, well, a small hurricane, we're talking, you know, 75 mile per hour winds. We're talking, you know, quite a storm. Jesus Christ spoke to it. And of course, one of the best parts of that story is before he does that, he's sleeping through the storm. Now, I've been accused a few times I could sleep through most anything, including a hurricane. Well, I've told people when they accuse me of that, I said, well, Jesus did. And he's my example. If he can sleep through Euroclydon, I can sleep through a hurricane. As long as it's not blowing the house down around me. But he showed, of course, his power over those things. And Solomon reminds us here, he says, as thou knowest not the way of the spirit, nor how the bones do grow in the womb of her that is with child, even so thou knowest not the works of God who maketh all. We sing a song that, you know, I think it's number 15 in our book. God moves in a mysterious way, his wonders to perform. Well, you know, what else would you expect God to do? If we understand God, the God of the Bible, the God of creation, the God that dwells in our hearts, the God of our hope for eternal salvation and for living in whatever life we live after this life is over, if we have any hope of that, it's in the God who moves in a mysterious way. Now, I don't know how much you think about these kinds of things, but I've often wondered, I've talked to the Lord about it. In my way, you know, in trying to study the scriptures and so forth, I've just simply said, Lord, if our destination, if your destination for us is heaven, why didn't you just put us there to start with? I don't mean that disrespectful, Lord, or irreverently. I know you say your will be done, and I agree with that. And I especially want to be reverential about it, because your promise is that ultimately that's where we're going to wind up. Okay, I'm thankful for that. And I certainly, you know, that's the ultimate blessing. But I still can't help but wonder, Lord, why you didn't just put us there to start with? Well, I'm sure that the Lord will give us the full answer to that when we get to heaven. And I not only feel secure in that, but I'm also fully believe that whatever his answer is, I'll be satisfied. Now let me spend a few moments. You know, we've got these babies being born into the world. We've got the Lord's blessing, still blessing children to be born in the midst of a pandemic, in the midst of political corruption, in the midst of global warming, in the midst of all these kind of things, life still goes on. God, who gives life, who created life, and who created that which continues life, and blessing babies to be to come into this world and to be born into this world, that's still happening. All of the upheavals of life, including abortion, hasn't stopped what God started.
Amen.
And it's a testament to who God is, to his power, and to his mercy. Because considering how that mankind behaves himself towards him and even thinks about him, it would serve us well for him to just stop it. Of course, he's going to do that one of these days. You know, several times the Lord says under various situations, it is enough. Well, there's coming a day he's going to say, it is enough. And then he's coming back. Now, you know, it, in one sense, this verse, or the latter half of this verse, the middle half part of this verse, know how the bones do grow in the womb of her that is with child. Well, I got to thinking about that yesterday, and sometime in the past, not too far back, I was reading in the book of Ecclesiastes, and this verse of scripture, as I think I said, just kind of arrested my mind. And I got to thinking about, well, you know, we do know, thankfully, I suppose we can say, a little bit more about what happens than Solomon did. You know, Solomon didn't have all of the modern machinery and the advantage of the accumulation of years and generations of information that we have nowadays. So I said to myself, in studying this out, well, let's just see if what Solomon said still holds true. Solomon says that, as thou knowest not what is the way of the spirit, nor how the bones do grow in the womb of her that is with child. Solomon says it's a mystery how the bones of a child grow in the womb. And I spent quite a bit of time yesterday on our source. Now that, you know, I didn't have to run down to the library and start checking out books, and all, I just got on the internet, and I read quite a bit. And you know, some of the things I read, just mere fancy. You know, it's like you always say, you got to consider the source. But I did read, Johns Hopkins University, UAB, and some of the other trusted, as much as you can trust them. You know, the sad thing is that in a lot of things that I read, sadly, as much good information as they were giving, it saddened my heart to think in some of those situations, the way that they were describing what takes place in a mother's womb at conception and how a child does begin to grow. The how somebody can study about all of that, find out all of that, and learn all of that, and still believe that abortion is okay. Yeah. You know, that you're talking about a mind being seared with a hot iron. That's what I think. You know, they don't, well, anyhow. So I began to read, and there was a lot of information. And they gave a pretty good general description about what does take place. And I read that, and I sat back and I said, Lord, is it still true that we don't know how bones do grow in the womb of her that is with child? And this came to my mind. We can describe the process. We can talk about what begins to happen after the fact. But we still haven't fully solved the riddle of how it does happen. As Solomon said, we know it happens. We can observe it happening. But we know that what's happening is not happening because we've designed it to happen that way. We're just part of the process that God uses to bring about the fertilization that takes place in a woman's womb. And God blesses it from that point. God blesses it to be. I firmly believe that every time that an embryo comes into being in a mother's womb, life begins. And it only begins because God blesses it to begin. Amen. The Bible teaches me unequivocally that life begets life. And the only way that we have life is not just because our parents had life, but it's because God has given us all life. God is life. He's the giver of life. And every time a person is formed in a mother's womb, it's because God blessed it to happen. He blessed it to be. He blessed the process that he put in place when he created the first man and the first woman to happen again. And that's why they happen. That's why we come into being in this world. And as much as we know, as I read those different articles, and it was pretty interesting reading, especially since, you know, that was the subject that was on my mind. But I came away from it with the understanding that as much as we know about what is going on, it's still a mystery. It's still a mystery. And it's still a mystery. Well, the point of all that is, of course, even so, thou knowest not the works of God, who maketh all. There's a point at which whenever we begin to, when we begin to study God's word, when we begin to study God, when we begin to study the works of God, that we fully have to come to the place, if we're honest about it, that it's a mystery. It's beyond our full comprehension. I'm thankful that we know what we do know. I'm thankful that God has revealed unto us the things that we can know. Well, of course, the hid things are known only unto God. The things that we do know, we only know them because God reveals them unto us. And one of the greatest joys of my life is to study the works of God. To think about all the things that God has done in creation. It's like light, for example. Have you ever studied light? What we know about it tells us, and I've done a little bit of research on that before, and this is the conclusion that I got from the researchers, is what we know about it just tells us that we know that there's that much more about it we don't know. And in the beginning, God said, let there be light, and there was light. And everything that we know about light and its properties, what it can do, etc., God created it that quick. And it still holds that value and that work to this day. And I feel confident that subject and the subject of how God blesses life to begin in a mother's womb, that we'll learn, you know, God blesses the world to stand much longer, that we'll feel like we've learned a whole lot more, that we can learn a whole lot more. But we'll realize also that there's a whole lot more to be learned. Which tells us, again, about our Lord and his works. That as much as we learn, as much as we observe, there's still a whole lot more to be learned. Now, sometimes preachers will say, well, you know, when we get to heaven, we'll know it all. I'm not so sure about that. If God has the ability to withhold from us information now, I don't think he's going to lose that ability then. And furthermore, if God is everything that the Bible says he is, if he is all-powerful, if he is all-knowing, well, even in heaven, well, and of course the Bible tells us, you know, there are occasions when the angels wonder about the things of God. And they live with God. They see God, you know, in the way that we're going to get to see him. And they're wondering about, you know, there are things that they don't know. While there are things hidden from them, things when it come to God's work with his people that they desired to see. Well, don't we serve a great God who can bring you and I into being whether we understand it or not? You ever hear some people talk about the works of God? You know, it's like if they can't understand it, well, then God must not be able to do it. You ever met anybody like that? You ever had that experience with somebody? You know, if I can't understand how this works, then it must not be able to work. You get kind of frustrated with people like that, especially when it comes to the things of God. May the Lord continue to instruct us in his ways, and may the Lord keep us humble and bless us to realize that his ways are as far above our ways as the heavens are the earth. I know where the earth is, but I know the heavens is out there somewhere. I know they sent the rocket with the telescope on it, and I don't know, that thing may still be going. It's a long way out there. And the Bible says his works are that far above, his ways are that far above my ways, as the heavens are above the earth. He's a mighty big God. May the Lord add his blessings, is my prayer.